1 Peter 2 and 5. Y'all pray for me. I got to go through this. If I don't get finished, I'm going to be back. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Ye also, as lively stones, that's like a hot coal, it's alive, are built up a spiritual house from lively stones. Now watch, from stones to a house and holy priesthood. So we go from stones to house to the priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, from stones to house to priesthood to sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wow. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Christ, elect, precious, praise God. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He will not be uprooted. He will not be confused. He will not be confounded. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. See, it's a generation, it's a priesthood, it's a nation, it's a people, that ye should shew forth the praises. Everybody say praises. The praises of him that have called you out of that sin-sick world, out of darkness, into the marvelous light. Wow, isn't it marvelous, serving God, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. You was a nobody, and he took you in, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Go into Hosea chapter 14 and 1 through 4. Hosea, Old Testament. He has an insight to this praising the Lord as a priest. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Did not the scripture say that by thine own wickedness shall I correct thee? If you want to keep drinking alcohol, keep drinking it. By your own wickedness, it will correct you. You've fallen by your own iniquity. Well, this, no, your own iniquity. Take with you words. Words comes out of your what? Your mouth. And turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Everyone say the calf of my lip. The calf of my lips. I'm going to bring words and I'm going to praise you with the calves of my lips. Ashur shall not save us, which was one of the gods of war of the world. He said, that God can't save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. We're not going to make a golden calf and say, behold our God that brought us across the Red Sea. For in thee the fatherless find what? Mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will heal them from going backwards. I don't like reverse. I like to go forward. Even in a car, I get nervous in reverse. Now they have the cars with the little cameras to help you. I forget to look at the cameras. I'm still used to cranking my neck around there. I will heal them from going in reverse. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I want to talk about the calves, that Hosea scripture, calves of our lips this morning, the calves of your lips. Amen. Let's pray. God, open up our ears. Open up our hearts. And open up our minds before we open up our mouths, that our mouths would bleed out, if you will, the praises of the one who brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. The saints of the Old Testament are a priesthood unto God. Do you understand that? We're called a royal priesthood, and a priest is a priest unto God. That's what a priest is. A priest ministers unto God. And in the Old Testament, the priesthood was founded upon the laws of Moses that God gave Moses. It was founded upon the sacrifice and the blood and, you know, all the ritual things. That's how it was founded. And then we have Christ become the foundation, the chief cornerstone of a new priesthood. And it said, he that believeth on him cannot be confounded. They're not going to be confused. Amen. Anytime you see something that was founded, so-and-so founded this in 18-something, you know, 93. It was founded upon something. Well, once it's founded, Lord, I don't want to be confused about the foundation of it. Is Christ the cornerstone or is he not the cornerstone? Do we believe this or we don't believe that? See, the problem with a lot of churches today, they're confounded. They're confounded. They don't know what they believe. They don't keep standing for what they used to believe. They just confounded. Oh, I've got to preach this morning. He said, ye are lively stones. How many of you are alive? You're lively stones. Some people are just stones. They're not the live, they're just stones. Lively stones that build up into a spiritual house, into a priesthood. Why? That the priesthood may offer spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. Everything goes through him to God. And he that believes on him won't be confused or confounded. Thank God that we are a generation that he chose, a peculiar people. Peculiar. You don't mind being peculiar, then get in the church. If you want to fit in with the rest of the world, that's fine, but I kind of like being peculiar. I kind of like being different. David said these words, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furs. But the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cord of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetop which wither forth groweth up, wherewith them that bindeth sheaves their bosom. They don't go by saying, the blessings of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Confounded. You see, they're mixing, they're acting like they're living for God, but you see, confounded means, let me tell you what it means. It means to be some good and some bad. If it was all bad, you're not confused. It's all bad. If it's all good, you're not confused. It's all good. But when it's some good and it's some bad, you see, I like that church, but I like her, but what I don't like about her. I like him, but what I don't like. I like the music, but what I don't like about the music. You understand what I'm saying? And it causes confounding, confusion. Because if it was all good, you're just like, man, I love it. Everything's lovely. It's all bad. And David is saying, oh, let them be confounded. Them that go by saying, oh, bless you, I'm so blessed. And you've never been so sick in all your life. Oh, y'all come see us sometime. You don't want them to come see you. Oh, we love y'all. You don't love them. Confounded. Confounded. And so, you know, there was a saying that they said, that last phrase, many times the reapers would meet in the field as the new ones would go in, and they would say, the blessings of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And they would respond to that. We'll bless you in the name of the Lord as they would go in and out of the field. Like, have a good day out there. And he said they weren't picking up anything. You see, that's what he's saying. No, let me read it to you. He said, wherefore the mower filleth not his hand, nor bindeth sheaves his bosom. They'd pick up the sheaves and bring them to their bosom. He said, they're empty-handed. They're empty-handed, saying, oh, bless God, I'm so blessed. And they don't have anything in their hands. And they'd meet somebody along the way, oh, God bless you. Let me show you where this comes from. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. It was an exchange of talk when you'd go into harvest. And so when you meet people that are miserable, and just say, I'm miserable. Pray for me. I need help. But instead we have the hypocrisy of acting like we're something we're really not. And David said, let these people be confounded and what? Turn back. You see, when you get confounded, you backslide. When you get confounded, you get confused. Lord, I'm just going to stop right here. I took a picture, but I didn't have time to bring it to you. A picture of a man's worst enemy. It's right here on my cell phone. It's a grease gun. It's a grease gun. I had a picture of it. I just didn't have time to bring you a man. You get confounded. It's got some good quality. You pump that grease in them wheel bearings, and boy, it helps it roll. It's good. But your hands get messy, and you get confounded and throw the thing down. So I'm never doing this again. But then you have to go buy another one. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. If you're not with me, Christ said, you're against me. You're either scattering or you're gathering, but I'm not putting up with both. At the Tower of Babel, he wanted them to stop building. What did he do? Confound their languages. And when he confounded their languages, they did what? Left off to build. It was some good. It wasn't all bad. There was some good. But the problem was they said, we're going to ascend above God. That's bad. It wasn't the tower. It was that they were trying to be higher than God. And he said, I will confuse their languages. And he confounded their languages, and they left off to build. At the day of Pentecost, they all spoke in other tongues, and it caused a confounding of the people. What meaneth this? Are these not Gentiles that were born? They speak in our nationality, our language. And it confounded them, and they sought to kill them. My. Mixed up. Some people get mixed up. God took the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He took the weak things of the world to confound those things that are mighty. Confounded. Many marriages ended up in divorce because of confounding. Couples get confounded. Marriages, they have some good. He's got some really good qualities, but I can't live with him. She's really good at it, but I can't live with her. And they get confounded. The Bible says, he that finds a wife findeth a good thing. Brother Randy, did you find a wife? Still got your arm around her. Now, 10 years from now, we'll see that. He that findeth a wife. It didn't say he that findeth a woman. There's a difference between a woman and a wife, and it's right here. Husband and wife is a mentality thing. It's not a sex thing. It's a mentality thing. I hope none of y'all woke up this morning and found out, I think I'm a woman today. I just woke up and think I'm a woman today. I realize all these years I'm a woman. Come on. Where's this world going to? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. When you find somebody who wants to be a wife, see, so many times a man says, I just need a woman. The problem is when you get a woman, she won't be a wife to you. And you'll be confounded and turned back. Same thing goes for a husband. The mentality of being a husband, it goes far more than just being a man. You know, men, if you're not careful, what'll happen is you'll ruin a good woman. A good wife. What would have been a good wife? Men sometimes don't grow up. They just want to stay men. Man mentality. Keep playing with my toys. Leave me alone. Give me some me time. I just got to have some time. Give me some space. And they don't become a husband. And you know what happens? They get confounded. And they turn back. Anything, the larger it is, the more time it takes to turn it around. If you're in a flat bottom boat with a 25 horsepower, you say, hey, let's go the other way, you just turn it around. But if you're in a tugboat and a barge, you say, hey, I left my cap on the dock, let's go get it. He's going to say, forget that cap. Because to me, to turn this thing around, it'll take days to turn. Same thing with a surgery. You get a little scratch, you put a Band-Aid over it, but you get heart surgery. The worse something is and the larger it is, the longer it takes to turn it around. And people live in the world for 20 and 30 years, and they want God to snap his fingers and turn their life around. It doesn't work that way. It takes time. And I hate to tell you this, some things take generations to turn around. I'll visit the iniquity of the father to the third and the fourth generations. Sometimes you just got to stick it out for your great-grandkids you don't even know you have yet, because you're generational thinking and not a momentary thing. I'm in this for the long haul. I hope you are. I'm in this for the grandkids and the great-grandkids that I don't even have yet. I wish people came with warning labels like pills do. Yeah. You ever had that restless leg syndrome? Anybody? You know what that is? Your feet kicking in the bed and you're not going anywhere. Just restless. Some people got that restless leg syndrome and just kicking. So you finally say, well, I'm going to get a pill to take me a pill to quit that running around all night and not going anywhere. And you get the pills and you look and it says, warning, causes diarrhea. You're like, well, I'll be running again. That ain't going to help me. I'll still be running. Don't take if nursing. Don't take if pregnant. Okay, I'm not with that. May cause liver disease. May cause heart failure. Lord, I think I'll just keep the kicking legs. I wish people came with warning labels, brother. Warning. I sing like a canary. I sing anointed, but I'm also annoying. I also will split your church. I'll sow gossip and discord among your church, just like I did at the last church I was at. Warn me! As an employer, I've hired many employees. They never put they're going to be 15 minutes late every morning. I'm punctual, I'm prompt, you can count on me. I want a career, I want all these things, and put yourself in the best light. But then after about a month, you're coming late 3 times out of the week. You take a lunch break. Whenever you'll answer the phone. If you're having a good day, you'll answer the phone. You don't tell me all that stuff before I hire you. See, I told y'all I was. You see me at Taco Bell, you know. Jesus came with a warning label. He sent John the Baptist ahead of him. He said, there's one coming after me I'm not worthy to latch his shoe. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and F-I-R-E, fire. And the fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Do you hear me, you generation of vipers? He's coming. And when Jesus came, he said, think not that I came to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword, and a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. Brother, you still want this thing? Foxes birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Do you want to follow me? Well, I don't know about that. He gave you all the downside before you said, okay, brother, I'll do it. Thank God he gave you a warning label. Let me tell you, he said, before they hated me, they'll hate you too. Because before they hated you, they hated me. The world will hate you. He said, the righteous shall suffer persecution. He gave us all the warning label. And if you still want to swallow it, then come on. But too many times people say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And they read the warning label and said, well, I ain't taking it. Thank God that he gave us. When I got into this thing, I know I was young. I really didn't know what I was getting into. But I'm going to tell you, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it all over again. Because I like what I got. And so Jesus came with a ministry, and it confounded the priesthood. Listen to me. He had priests. It was still the old Levitical priesthood, but it had been corrupted. They had polluted the tables. And then when Christ came along, he stepped into that high priest role at 30 years old, and it confounded the priesthood. It confounded the wise. It confounded the Jews. It confounded the elders. It confounded the people. Everybody thought that Jesus would come, or the king would come out of the sky, and he would be some glorious thing, and they missed it. He came in a manger. It confounded them. Oh, look at all the good he's doing. But that cannot be him. For if he was a prophet, he would know that woman's a sinner. And they were confounded because he was good, but not what they wanted. So let's get rid of him. Let them all turn back. Let them be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. leave me alone. So Christ founded a priesthood, and those that believe on him shall not be confounded. You're not confused this morning, are you? Paul said, I know in whom I have my trust, and he's able to keep those things I've committed to him against those days. I'm not confused at all. Beat me with rods if you want to. Leave me out in the shipwreck, whatever you want to do. But tomorrow morning, I will be up and preaching the same message I once preached, because that's what I believe. Are you understanding me? So people that backslide, the reason they backslide is they got confounded. They got confused. They saw some good things about living for God, but yeah, they saw the negative part about it, and they couldn't balance that thing out. So they just backslid. Backsliders. This church could not hold all the people that once lived for God in this that came out of this church. So let me quickly talk about the priesthood of the Old Testament and the New Testament, because the purpose of the priesthood was to bear the iniquity. How many priests do we have in here? I hope you're all priests unto God, right? The priesthood was to bear the iniquity, listen, of their own wrong, of the wrong done in the sanctuary, and the wrong done by the people, and bring it to God. The priest bore not only the ark, but the iniquity. Okay. And I wonder, who bears the iniquity for you? I hope it's you. The serpent did it. That woman you gave me. Oh, somebody else caused me to do this. And you never bear your own iniquity, your own wrongdoing. It's always somebody else for the reason you did what you did. But let's look at Numbers 18 and 1. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, the things that go wrong inside of the church. Now, in case you don't know it, if I hire somebody to do a job for me and he is the general contractor and the guy comes and pours a slab and he's the foundation guy and he messes up, there's no need for me to talk to that guy. I'm talking to you. I hired you and you hired him. Don't chew your waitress out. Don't chew the cook out. Call the manager. Because you don't know what they'll do to your food back there when it comes back out. Mm-hmm. I hired you. And so, even in this church, you're the pastor, right? I have to bear the iniquity of all of us. Anything that goes on in here, I have to bear it. Good or bad, I got to bear it. That's what I'm called to do. And I won't complain about it. It gets kind of heavy sometimes. I won't complain about it. He said, you're going to bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. See, I got to bear my own mistakes. I don't have to just bear yours. I got to bear mine too. And so the priests were not to touch a dead thing. That's one of the things. Do not touch a thing of the past. What is a dead thing? Something that has passed. And too many times, people that are living for God keep going back to the past. That's why they backslide. They keep touching the things that should be dead. A corpse, if you will. They keep propping it up and it's dead. Don't touch a dead thing. But from time to time, they broke their own laws. And they would touch a dead thing. If they touched a dead thing that was called unclean, they become unclean. Even though they just, now he's unclean. Watch in Numbers 19 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord God hath commanded, saying, speak unto the people of Israel, that they may bring thee a red heifer. A red heifer, watch, not just any red heifer, but when you find one without spot, wherein is no blemish, no scab, no sores, no ticks, no fleas, and upon which never came a yoke, upon which a man's burden has never been placed upon this red heifer. I want you to bring that to me. I want you to bring the red heifer. Why a red heifer? Because they were hard to find. Because the animals were so mixed up, they were spotted, and they were speckled, and they were grizzled, and they were all these colors. But a red heifer was difficult to find. So he said, I don't want one of these mixed up ones. I want one that's solid red. Don't give me no speckled one. Don't give me a spotted one. Don't give me one that's got scabs or sores. I want nothing but a pure red heifer, and I don't want one that you have put your fingers on. No burden, not to carry your plows, not have never had a whip on them. I want one about 2 years old that has no blemish, because there's a reason for it. Because this red heifer will produce some ashes. The red heifer will produce some ashes. The ashes of a dead thing. It will produce the ashes of a dead thing. Oh, that was pure, but it died. Kind of like Christ that was pure, but he died. Verse 10. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. And it shall come unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statue forever. What they did, they took the ashes of the red heifer and they mixed them with their holy water, and it became a cleansing agent. They took, listen, the unclean thing and burned out all the impurities. And they mixed it with the clean thing. And in doing so, they found the grace of God. They found God's love and God's mercy because they followed God's orders for a red heifer without spot, without blemish. And they took the ugliness of ashes. There's nothing pretty about ashes. Although they make makeup out of ashes. Did you know that? Yeah. And other things. Look that up. And so they mix the ashes. Did he not say, I'll trade you beauty for your burned out life? What I want you to do is burn out. Say, well, I'm burned out. Good. The world will burn you out. And then you can come to God and say, this is all I've got, is ashes. And he takes the ashes and he puts them with the holy water, and now they begin to sprinkle it upon the priest and upon the people, and it made them clean. And I'll read this again. It'll make more sense to you. And I'm fixing to close. I like to close about three times. Hosea 14:1, he said, O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with thee words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take your words, say unto him, like the prodigal son, he rehearsed in his mind what he was going to say to his father. And he said, Father, I have sinned. Turn unto the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Your lips are your red heifer. Your lips is your red heifer. It is the ashes. It's what's left. When you come to God, all I've got left is my voice. God, all I can do is tell you, I repent. All I can do is tell you, I'm sorry. And if your grace will meet my ashes, whoo, if your grace will meet my words, Lord, I mean what I'm saying. I'm burned out to the world. I give up on the world. Lord, if you'll just forgive me. And his grace, hallelujah, is mixed with your ashes. And Lord, a beautiful thing comes out of it called forgiveness. And that's what he did with the high priest. He cleaned them by the ashes of the red heifer and by the holy water. So it is, you bring the calves of your lips. You bring the red heifer of your lips and say unto God, Lord, I want forgiveness. Lord, forgive me of all my iniquities and of all of my sins. Lord, I'm sorry. Bring your best praise to God. Don't bring him a scabby praise. Don't bring him a spotted praise. Don't bring him a speckled praise. Bring him the ashes of your best praise. Whew. Out of a pure heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord is near. Hallelujah. The calves of your lips is the fruit of your lips. Spoken in Hebrews 13 and 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. That's the calf of your lips of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let me tell you, no other God can save you. A shore can't save us. I don't want to ride on a horse and fight for this thing. If God can't save me, then I'm just going to perish. Hallelujah. For such a time as this, Esther came into the kingdom and she finally come to the realization, if I perish, I but perish. So if God don't save me, the one I'm serving don't save me, and we don't rise again, then I just won't rise again. I'm closing again. I will heal them from their backsliding. I guarantee you, every one of us, you say, well, I've never backslid. Don't give me that. There's some things you went back and did. There's some things you said you thought you'd never say. Come on. In your anger and all that. No, you never said, I'm giving up on God, I'm going back into the world. But you slid back. I pray, God, if you heal me of anything, you may not heal me of carpal tunnel syndrome, you may not heal me of whatever else I may have wrong with me that I don't. I just got a good, clean bill of health from the doctor. I just got carpal tunnel, that's all I got. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to praise him no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to praise him. But what happens is we slide back. So I pray, God, if you heal me of anything, heal me of backsliding. Heal me of going back and touching dead things. Whew. Heal me of going back and touching a corpse, something that I've already said I'll never do again. Heal me of sliding back. That's why I tell people, before you can go forward, guess what? You got to get back where you used to be. You can't go forward till you get back where you used to be. I'm closing. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded. He was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded because of what you did, not because of what he did. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised. He was bruised before our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Don't tell me you had never strayed. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The scapegoat of a lifetime. Hallelujah. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's why David said, his praise shall continually be upon my lips. I will praise the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. The calves of your lips is the praise you get. All I've got to offer you is brokenness. And what? And strife. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. And by his stripes, I'm healed of backsliding. I'm not going to Taco Bell anymore. Hallelujah. I'm not going to that other manana anymore. I won't tell you the whole name. I'm not going there anymore. And they're building a new one in Sulphur. If you see me there, y'all come get me. Hallelujah. I love y'all. Appreciate you listening to me. Take a quick break and we'll come back for morning worship. Bring back your best praise to morning worship. In Jesus' name.